incredible cooperation that we see between the DPS guys, the Army, the civilians that are rebuilding,
the Marines,
this sense of camaraderie with
the Navy.
Everybody.
I see Navy guys down
it
there.
It cuts
so
through everybody. Where does that come from?
I think with the military as a whole, I think that camaraderie's always been there.
Right.
I think it's. But what you've seen today is another after effect of September 11th, another good side of it, where everyone has come together and. In an event like this, I don't think anything could have stopped it, could have stood in its way.
Do you guys have any game shows on Army TV?
Not too often.
You got any soap operas?
Just in the office, not on TV.
Just in the office.
So Army TV, is this something that is it like NFL films? I mean, are you a division of the Army where you tape stuff and film stuff for the Army? Or if I was to join the Army, please, I know that's a joke.
Frightening thought.
But if I was to join the Army and I'm in my barracks, is one of my channels like Channel 4 Army TV?
No, we don't actually broadcast outside. We broadcast into the Pentagon. Like today's ceremony was wired into the Pentagon.
Do you notice how his concept of being in the Army would be that he's sitting in a Barco lounger with a remote control watching his cable television?
Welcome to Who Wants to Be a Sergeant?
If I'm in the Army, that would be your question, wouldn't it? If I'm in the Army and I go through boot camp, where will my cable television be put?
I gotta have my satellite.
Well, congratulations.
Army TV, let's get a quick shout out. All your guys, your names.
Go ahead, name and say hi to whoever you want to say hi to.
Okay, I'm Sergeant Watkins. I'd like to say hi to anyone out there in traffic because I'm sure you're there.
All right, very good.
And you are?
Staff Sergeant Gary Free.
Anybody you want to say hello to?
It's my wife. I'm sure she's listening.
What's your wife's name?
Ann.
Hello, Ann. All right. You, sir?
My name is Sergeant Charles.
Yes?
And I want to say hello to the TVD team and USAVIC TV Army Television, too.
Very good. And you, sir?
Ann? Specialist there at GAPA.
You just got into the Army. Tell me, how long have you been in?
3.5 years.
Wow, you're a young looking guy.
Come on, you're an NSYNC, aren't you?
Yeah, this guy.
That was my other option.
How can a guy in the Army have an NSYNC haircut?
That's pretty amazing.
How can that be?
Before we interrupted, do you get a chance to say hi to anybody?
My family in Oklahoma, but they're probably not listening, and my friend Josh Lovely and Wayne Gray.
All right, very good.
And also Neil, Lance Bass.
Bass and the rest
Justin
of them.
Timberlake, Britney Spears, all your friends.
Absolutely.
A guy from the Army, I swear to God, looks like one of the Backstreet Boys. Very nice meeting you. It is, without doubt, a pleasure for us to be here at the Pentagon today. September 11th, 2002. We've talked about them a lot, the DPS guys. First response, the guys that called and actually orchestrated this whole deal with us coming down to the Pentagon today. We'll get them on, and we'll talk to more of the regular rank-and-file Pentagon workers. That's why we're here on September 11th, right after quick update in the news cubicle. Here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Thank you very much. An American Airlines flight has been escorted back to the airport in Houston by F-16 fighter jets after what the FBI initially reported as an attempted hijacking. American Airlines Flight 1720 had been heading from Houston to Dallas with 50 passengers. It returned to Bush Intercontinental Airport after reports of a disturbance on board. A spokesman for American Airlines says the plane returned because of a potential security incident. He says there were two air marshals on board and that the passenger who was involved has apparently been removed from the plane. An FBI spokesman said his understanding was that it appears to be an attempted hijacking, but that he could not confirm that. A source says three passengers on a Northwest Airlines jet today had locked themselves in a bathroom and were possibly shaving their body hair. A Minneapolis TV station quotes a source as saying the men were shaving themselves clean. A source tells the Associated Press that passengers aboard the plane told investigators a similar story. After last year's terror attacks, documents were found in the luggage of the hijacked leader in which there appeared to be instructions for the suicide hijackers to, quote, shave the extra hair from the body. The Northwest plane on a flight from Tennessee to Las Vegas was diverted to Fort Smith, Arkansas. The FBI says authorities took the men off that plane. Federal officials say the incident is not believed to be related to terrorism. And the airline says the flight crew decided to land as a precaution because four passengers were behaving strangely. A state office building in Columbus, Ohio has been evacuated after dogs picked up the scent of explosives in a van at a loading dock. The building is 41 stories tall and holds the Ohio Supreme Court and other agencies. Police say a man is in custody. They say no explosives have been found yet, but the scent of explosives was picked up three times by a dog. Survivors of last year's Pentagon attack are among those who gathered at the site today to hear President Bush and other leaders commemorate the event. One woman who was badly burned and lost the fingers on her left hand said she's glad she changed her mind and attended. Letitia Hook says she met a military captain today who helped carry her on a stretcher from the building, and now she says she has some closure because she knows the full story of what happened to her that day. Another woman who attended the ceremony said it's good to be here among friends. Christine Peterson lost her sister in the attack. Many attendees flinched or wiped away tears as jets took off from nearby Ronald Reagan National Airport. Pentagon worker Mark Felipe says the takeoff still make him nervous. From the Pentagon to Pennsylvania and now on to New York, President Bush is making visits today to the scenes of all the attacks of a year ago. At the Pentagon, he vowed to pursue the fight against terrorism.
The terrorists chose this target, hoping to demoralize our country. They failed.
And in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, he joined family members in mourning the deaths of the 40 people aboard United Flight 93.
On the last phone call, he said that a group of them were getting ready to do something, and then he hung up.
The first couple arrived at midday in the field where the plane came down and placed a wreath there, then stood silently at that spot with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Earlier, Homeland Security Director Tom Ridge told family members that it's a day not just to mourn the deaths of the 40 people on board, but also to recognize the nation's gratitude for what they did. The Pentagon has saluted the construction crews who made good on a promise to reopen offices a year after the terror attack. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz says the workers used the best tools of professionalism, passion, and pride. He says they've healed the Pentagon's walls and in doing so, helped heal the nation. For as long as the Pentagon stands, and Wolfowitz adds that will be a long time, he says it will remain a symbol of the nation's endurance and resilience. He also praised the Pentagon's program manager, Lee Evie, who helped lead the effort and who is retiring next week. Earlier at the Pentagon's worker appreciation ceremony, Evie declared, "America, we give you back your Pentagon." It's the past, but it's not the past. So says a 10-year-old student who attends a Manhattan school near the site where the Twin Towers once stood. Students of the neighborhood school saw the jets hitting the World Trade Center a year ago. Jake Auslander says he has classmates who still cry because they lost loved ones. The school day started with a moment of silence at 8:46 a.m. at each of New York's 1,000 public schools. Neighborhood school principal Judith Foster says kids in one classroom were afraid of silence. Foster says they didn't want to talk, but that they did write and draw. Meanwhile, students in another class put a candle in the middle of the room and talked about the anniversary. Around the world, people are marking the anniversary of last September's attacks. A bugler played taps in Afghanistan. A twisted metal cross in Rome signifies the carnage. More than 3,000 torches representing the victims burn outside Oslo's City Hall in Norway. And some call for more attacks. Pope John Paul says nothing could justify such a grave offense on human life as the attacks. But an Arab man in Egypt says he feels anger and hatred toward the American government and its businesses. In the Middle East, many see clear U.S. world dominance and U.S. backing for Israel as the cause for the attacks. One man in Jordan says he hopes the White House will be hit. But others around the world observing the anniversary offered condolences and sympathy. A Greek leader promised not to give up the forces of darkness against civilization. A state office building in Columbus, Ohio, has been evacuated after dogs picked up the set of explosives in a van at a loading dock. That building is 41 stories tall and holds the Ohio Supreme Court and other agencies. Police say a man is in custody. They say no explosives have been found yet, but the set of explosives was picked up by a trained dog three times. Officials say there's no sign of danger from a suspicious powder mailed to U.S. diplomatic missions in Europe. A spokesman of the U.S. Embassy in Berlin says envelopes carrying the powder were delivered to several consulates in Germany and to embassies in Denmark and Italy. German authorities are analyzing the powder to see if it's anthrax or some other dangerous substance. A CIA official says it is Osama bin Laden's voice in the latest Al Jazeera videotape. The Arab satellite TV station has aired parts of a tape on which a man's voice named some of the September 11th hijackers. Al Jazeera says the voice is that of bin Laden. The station plans to air the full tape tomorrow. U.S. intelligence officials don't think the tape was made recently, but they say Al-Qaeda is still dangerous. Officials say the U.S. campaign has weakened Al-Qaeda and scattered its leaders, but that there's no shortage of sympathizers eager to help the group. Officials say between 15 and 20 senior Al-Qaeda leaders are still at large. After a delayed open, stock prices sprinted higher today. The major averages have since dropped off their best levels of the day. Many Wall Street traders feel like they're going through the motions today. Many gathered early to hear the names of the terror attack victims read aloud. It's business as usual in Major League Baseball today, but there will be breaks in the action to reflect the one-year anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the U.S. Both New York teams are doing their part to honor the victims and the heroes of the attacks. The Yankees will unveil a monument dedicated to those lost at the World Trade Center. The pregame ceremony is expected to last about an hour before the Yanks face Baltimore. The Mets are wearing hats from the New York City Police and Fire Departments, as well as caps from the EMS and the Port Authority Police. The Mets wore those same caps last season following the attacks. All the night games will pause at 9:11 local time for a moment of silence, and every ballpark will host tributes to the victims and to those who tried to rescue them. Among the tribute events taking place around the country today is provided by some of our affiliates along the Don and Mike network. In Alexandria today, a 9/11 remembrance. Alexandria remembers the tragic events of that date last year at 4:30 this afternoon at the Torpedo Factory Arts Center. In Seattle, the city and the state are beginning events with a ringing of Seattle fire station bells and moments of silence. The fire department dedicating a mural today. At noon, a state memorial was held at Westlake Center. And there will be other activities this evening, including an open house at the Community Reflection Center at the Fountain, also there in Seattle. In Madison, Wisconsin, there'll be a fundraiser today for the New York City Fire Department, sponsored by a local radio station at Club Tavern in Middleton. The proceeds all go toward new equipment, and there will be entertainment, and that's the event taking place in Madison, Wisconsin. In Sacramento today, on the south steps of the Capitol this evening, a flashlight vigil with singing choirs, guest speeches, and band music, that all organized by youth volunteers. And September 11th was the worst day in the country's history, according to New York Mayor, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, but also in some ways, he says, one of the best. Giuliani refers to the numerous acts of courage and generosity after the terror attacks. The man lionized as America's mayor for his leadership of New York after the Twin Towers fell, says he's not sure how to feel about the September 11th anniversary. It's like the death of a loved one, he says. After you get through a year, you know you can go on with your life, but you still feel badly. He says the site of the World Trade Center should be dominated what he calls a soaring memorial. And for a city that's accustomed to the raucous sound of blaring cab horns and noisy subways, today's silence has been deafening in New York as the city's citizens paused to reflect on the horror that took place a year ago today. Hundreds of people stood mutely in Times Square watching the World Trade Center memorial service on giant screens. Firefighters at a Manhattan firehouse listened quietly as the names of their 343 lost comrades were read. People wept quietly on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral. One man outside the church said he was there to just pray and hope. And flag after flag is rising over the Capitol building here in Washington today. Thousands of Americans will now be able to say they own a flag that flew over the Capitol this September 11th. The House Flag Office's crews began raising and lowering flags one after the other at midnight and are working around the clock. Each flag rises to the top and pauses at half staff on its way down. Now back to Don and Mike, live from the Pentagon 1 year later. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Well, we are here at Pentagon 2002, September 11th. Reminder about our regular show tomorrow, Philadelphia. We will celebrate all that is good with America.
Absolutely, and today, I think more than I anticipated, we're celebrating a lot of the heroes that that saved so many lives a year ago today. I came into today's broadcast with the feeling, like many Americans, that we look back and, you know, we shed our tears. I was we're going to have Lieutenant Wayman on in a second. We were talking about the fact that, you know, it's such an emotional morning. As the day has progressed, as you talk to more of these heroes, I have a feeling of strength that I didn't have before. I feel the country is strong. The country has a great resolve, and I feel good about America today. And, man, I did not expect to have this kind of broadcast. I really thought it would be just sadness, nonstop sadness. And while we do reflect on the tragedy, I can't tell you enough that today is a day to realize how we have come together as a nation.
And we will celebrate that tomorrow with our march down South Street.
Celebrated as only we can, Don.
In Philadelphia, That's Street, right? South Street?
Yeah, South Street's where we hang out.
Philly,
yeah.
We'll be up at Philly tomorrow, WYSB, be advised. We are, of course, brought to you via our flagship station, WJFK-FM. Our producer, Charles Broyhill, assisted by Lisa Herndon, Bobo Spiewak, and our engineer, Wendell Hall. And also today in Washington, we are simulcast on Infinity Sister Station, Arrow 94.7.
Here we are at the Pentagon, live at the site of reconstruction, and it's a real honor to be here today.
Denny Wayman is with us, and Denny works for the DPS.
Yes, Lieutenant Denny Wayman, one of the first people that we met down here. As a matter of fact, yesterday when we were coming down to get our credentials.
Now, DPS is the Defense Protective Service, and these are the guys, I think when we talk to Bill later, we'll talk about exactly how we got involved with the Pentagon. It was with another member of your force calling the show and saying, how would you guys like to come down on September 11th? I know that you guys are too humble to say this, but let me set the record straight. On September 11th, the very first response was met with, dealt with, and taken care of by the DPS.
It should be pointed out to you that Sergeant Brayman, when he was here a moment ago, I don't think you got a chance to hear him.
Right.
How highly these guys, these military guys, in an airborne division guy, speaks of the Department of Protective Services and the work you guys did that particular day. It must be a very tight relationship that you have now between the military personnel here in the Pentagon and all the guys in your police department.
I think it is, and I've seen it gotten more so in our department, mm-hmm. especially in our section. Our KNS section was tight before September 11th, and since then we've been asked to do more with a lot less, and we've always come up on top. I mean, we're tighter now.
Being the first. The plane hits, you guys are the first to react. Tell us and everybody listening what the hell was going through your mind when it happened and what it was like to be the first team to arrive and attempt to deal with this horror. What was that like?
Well, I know you talked to Officer Hoopy earlier, and I was with Officer Hoopy at the Fort Myer Vet Clinic when this all took place. And we responded back over here within 3 to 4 minutes of the plane striking the building.
So when we say first, you guys were the first.
We were
the outside
first.
Of people that were inside the building when it
correct,
got hit. You guys
correct.
Were the first on the scene.
Our department had at least 20 officers out here on this field before any other department showed up.
As opposed to an individual that was inside the building, when you're dealing with a pure adrenaline reaction, you guys got the call, responded to the scene. What was going through your mind, and then how do you deal with that kind of a situation?
I think the first thing that went through my mind was disbelief, because my wife had called me and told me to turn TV on,
right.
Turn the radio on, something. This, you know, New York, this is going on in New York, and
right.
and there it just was disbelief. And then when we got the call that a plane hit our building, it was just, at first it was disbelief, and I think I went through every emotion in that first 24-hour period. It was disbelief and anger and sadness, and you know.
What was it like to pull up, see what had happened, and you're seeing it, you know, 3 minutes after impact? What goes through your mind? You get out of the car. Denny, what's the first thing you do? What was the first thing you did?
The first thing that I did was I went in the building. It was no question, not thinking about it. It may have been adrenaline, and it may have been whatever it was. I went in the building, and as I went in the building, I was probably about 15 or 20 feet in the building, and a lady came around the corner, and she was covered in blood, and it was she didn't know where she was going.
Were you aware?
And I grabbed her and brought her outside. And then you always hear people talk about when something is going on like that, how things slow down.
Yeah.
After I got her out, I started trying to figure out where my officers were.
Right.
And I stood out here on this field, and it was probably 30 seconds. It felt like an hour. I mean, just everything just slowed down, and there's so much going on around us.
Were you aware that it was a plane when you came up on the scene? Did you, had you, I mean, you obviously, your wife had called you and said,
right,
turn on the TV, so
right,
you were aware this is an aircraft?
Yeah. The first call that came across was it was an aircraft. We had officers actually see it, so
right,
we knew it was an aircraft. And then on top of that, like I said, I didn't know where any of my officers were.
Right.
I had all my guys were on duty that day.
How many were you with? I know you were with Sergeant Hoopy before. How many people actually responded when you got to the scene?
IOPV, Mike, is that
Hoope.
Good luck trying to pronounce it.
I was just a
IOPV.
Then he says Hoopy, and that's what. Do you call him Hoopy? Is that it?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Okay, very good.
Much easier.
But my question was, how many
did
you
respond with? How many guys?
We had 6 or 7 canine officers here on this field that day. And
did you also have local
law enforcement? Our operations guys had probably their entire shift was out here. I mean, there was probably 30, 40 officers out here, and then there's a lot of local guys that came out here after that. I mean, you had Virginia State, and there's a lot of those guys were on the scene quick.
You know, Denny, I'm going to say to you what I said to the Army guys, what I said to Hoopy. The balls it takes. I'm sorry if I'm boring our audience, but I got to tell each guy this to his face, because I speak, I think, for all Americans. The balls it takes to arrive and see that happening and instinctively
walk into the building,
run in to save people's lives is something I would like to think I could do, but I could not guarantee you that I could do it. What is it inside of you that drives you, that enabled you to do that? And when you sit back and reflect on it, 9/11 was an awful day, but you, in particular, and DPS, did a hell of a lot of good. Are you able to look back and say, wow, I can't believe I did that? And second, look at the lives that I directly affected.
Well, I'd be honest with you, I don't know what's inside of me that made us do it. I don't think any of us know what's inside of us that makes us do this. I mean, it's just something that we've done for many, many years. I've been in law enforcement for 12, 13 years now, and it's you know, you could get out of it tomorrow, and, you know, just because of those reasons. You have officers, you know, that are always being killed in the line of duty, and that right there can make you get out of it, and we're still here. I mean, we're still working as law enforcement officers, you know. I really can't explain what makes us do that, or what made me run in that building that day.
But it certainly makes you a better officer after that.
Well, I'm proud of what I did, and I, looking back on it, I beat myself up, you know, for weeks after that I could have done this or that or the other thing. But what I did that day and what all these other officers did out here that day, they know what they did in their hearts, and that's what I'll take to my grave.
You know, that is the most amazing sentiment that I think we have heard from every guy today. You guys went in there and busted your ass and saved lives.
And everybody
has said, I could have done more. I wish I could have done more.
That's pretty
amazing.
You had lives that were lost in there. So, I mean, if we could have saved that one more life, that would have been one less that would have been on that list.
You did such a great job. Imagine now, and walk me through this with your wife, because your wife calls you up and says, oh, my God. Then the next thing she knows, you're showing up here.
That is a, you know, it's an interesting question.
Well,
what was the next time you spoke to your wife?
I didn't talk to her.
You didn't?
My wife called me up, and she told me what was going on, and then it was probably 10 minutes maybe after that the plane hit here.
Right.
And she didn't hear from me after that. The only thing she knew was I was on my way back over here.
Right.
How long was it until she heard from you again?
Well, we tried. There was officers here that were trying to get out and get in touch with family members, and none of the cell phones worked, nothing. You couldn't get through.
How long were you
I finally got out probably probably about 3 or 4 hours later to my father in Richmond.
Right.
And because I could get through it up down there, but I couldn't get the phone line to work up here. And I told him, you know, just keep calling. I don't have time to call my wife. Just keep calling and let her know I'm all right.
When you saw the carnage that day and what was, you know, the loss of life, but also what was the damage that was done that day, are you pretty blown away and amazed since you work here every day to see that, what they accomplished in rebuilding this?
That's incredible, isn't it?
I mean, I can't believe it. It's beautiful.
You know why this is up right now? These construction workers, and I don't remember what holiday it was, there was a holiday after September 11th, once they started work on this place, that they were supposed to have either a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a three-day weekend, basically.
Right.
And these construction workers would not leave this site.
24-hour shifts.
They wouldn't
leave
the site.
Right.
They told their bosses, we're not leaving.
Right.
The construction workers are the reasons this is up. They're the reasons that today we're putting it up in a year. It's going to be built.
It is
amazing.
Amazing.
You talk about the admiration, the circle of admiration. You guys, the law enforcement community, the military, the civilians that work here in the Pentagon, and the construction guys that were honored earlier today. They had a ceremony for these guys.
Exactly.
They deserved it. I mean, they really did. There's some kind of, in a way, closure about seeing this building finished, and it's really a way, because of course, obviously, for logistical reasons, you can't begin to attempt that with the towers, but with this particular building, you know, damn it, we looked across at all these fanatics, and, you know, we thumbed our noses at them and said, look what we
one year later, we
it's
said,
back.
You know, look, it's back.
Back.
It's better than it was.
And on top of that, we were thumbing our noses at them the day afterwards.
This
building was in operation the day afterwards.
Yeah.
People were in that building working in their offices on the 12th.
That kind of bravery.
They were working.
That kind of bravery, that's bravery
also. That's not the law enforcement officers. That's the normal Pentagon employees that were inside that building.
Have you thought, let me ask you something now. You're a very humble man. All you guys are. Have you thought 50 years from now, they just made a movie about Pearl Harbor, and that guy Ben Affleck is in it. Well, 50 years from now, if they happen to make a movie about the events of the 11th, you're if not the first, one of the first guys in. Who plays you?
Well, and if it's 50 years from now, he hasn't been born yet.
Well, what I'm saying is, out of today's crop of actors,
today's crop of actors, in order to play him, 50 years from now, we'll be 80.
Yeah, 80 and 90.
I'm looking, and I'm thinking.
If they made the movie today?
Yeah. You could go with a Tom Cruise. would you be upset with Tom Cruise playing you in the movie?
I think he's commenting on your rugged good looks, Lieutenant.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
Do you know... Yeah, this is serious. Do you know you're a hero?
I don't consider myself a hero.
You're a hero.
I tell you,
you are
the guys
a
that
hero.
I consider a hero are the guys that went down in Pennsylvania. The guys that went in this building and it just to go off on something different real quick... this afternoon, when the ceremony was leaving here, there's a Virginia State Trooper, and I won't mention his name because I don't know if he wants to be mentioned on the radio. But he was seriously injured, and I'm you will hear more about him with other interviews that are coming up. But he was seriously injured in this Pentagon that day, and almost died. About 2, maybe 3 months after this happened, he finally came back to work. And I was actually working. It was a Sunday morning. And I was giving my dog a break in one of the parking lots here. And he happened to drive by and stop and start talking. And we talked for probably two and a half hours, stood out there in that parking lot. And we both went through every emotion that day that we went through on the 11th.
Right.
We both broke down that day.
Right.
We both crying like babies.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've done it, I don't know how many times since the event, and I seen him again today. He was with his wife, and we sat out there and started talking again, and the same thing happened. We started breaking down, and which is a good thing.
It is.
If you hold it in, it kills.
Right. No, you got to let it out, and you do, and that's normal.
I think that the biggest thing that I was thinking about that day, once the adrenaline popped down and I was, you know, here, it's just looking at this place burn, was it could have been me in that building. My wife and kids would have been at home, and
you know, and it is an emotional day. We talk about you guys being heroes and how much we appreciate that. And it is important, I think, for everybody. I don't think there's anybody all day, Lieutenant, that hasn't gone through the day and had an emotional moment.
Denny, you should know that what you are doing right now, fighting back tears, thinking about it could have been me, what about my wife, what about my family, you guys, the Army guys, the Navy guys, everybody involved in this, the cops, the firefighters, you have to know that that's how us Joes, we feel every day. Mm-hmm. It's that could have been us. If not for guys like you who stand up and fight against the bad guys, what kind of a world would we live in? So don't be embarrassed that you have an emotional moment, because we've all had them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And more so us than you, because we look to you to say, well, at least we got guys like Denny who we know are going to take care of the first line of defense.
And one of the things that we have in this country, and, you know, I know it sounds like flag waving, but the biggest difference between the individuals that perpetrated this on the United States and all of us here, and I think collectively as Americans, is the value that we place on human life. And with that value that we place on human life, it makes our heroes more special, because they are willing to put their own lives on the line. But we value it, and that's why you get emotional. That's why we all get emotional, because we value human life, and we realize that it is sacred, and it is not something that should be thrown away. And there are other people that feel differently, but we're stronger than those people. We're better than those people that feel that way.
People like us.
And people like us. And I swear to God, it is really important for everybody to know that after you get by the emotion of the moment, you realize that, you know, you've heard a lot today about the moral high ground. My God, absolutely the moral high ground. And I mean, but it's not, you hear those words, but when you feel it is when you're around people like yourself and people here at the Pentagon, you feel like we have this imperative, this moral mission. To win this battle against terrorists.
How many people do you think you carried out that day?
Honestly, I pulled that one lady out, and then when I got back outside, I started looking for my officers. Because I had, once we did get things together, I had two officers I couldn't find. And Sergeant Legazy had just come out of center court with one of those officers, and we didn't know where he was at. And I had another officer that his wife actually worked in the building. And at the time, he went looking for his wife. And I didn't know where he was at. And for that was one of the things that was so agonizing in the first couple of hours, is not knowing
where
my guys were at.
Your teammates.
You know?
What's it feel like to have a guy like Sergeant Isaac O.P.E. on your watch? What is that? What's it like to have a guy like that? I mean, you know, and I'm looking down at Bill down here. What's he doing down here? So, what does it feel like to have guys like that you work with every day?
I'll be honest with you. We've got in our canine section, we've got some of the best guys in this department. There's no doubt about it. Our guys are quality guys. We have a blast in the section.
You know, the more
training.
I'm looking at you, the more I'm thinking. I realize that you're not even the same race, but I would cast Samuel L. Jackson this year.
Not Denzel?
No. You know what? No. Denzel's gonna be Bill.
Baldy down there?
Yeah.
what is Bill? So Bill Sergeant Bill. Who's got the last
Hold
name?
On. Hold
Come on.
On,
everybody. We've been dealing with everybody.
You know, we got so many names.
Bill Lagasse.
Is it Bill Lagasse?
Lagasse. Like Emily.
Yeah.
Like Lagasse. Emerald Lagasse, right.
And your head is nowhere near as big as Rob's. Don't worry about it.
So you guys...
Much balder, though.
DPS, this has brought you together as a team.
Yeah.
It has brought you together with all of the other military forces. Last question here. What about the people, the government workers inside the Pentagon? We were talking with the Army guys. There are more civilians than military every day in the Pentagon.
Exactly.
What type of response have you gotten from the civilians?
Good question.
Who work every day in the Pentagon, who were here on that day? What have they said to you?
We've gotten more pats on the back and thank yous and just people when they're coming in the building at the entrances, you know, thanking the officers and patting them on the back for what they've done and what they're still doing here.
And isn't it amazing because on September 10th,
we didn't get it.
On September 10th, someone could have been coming into the Pentagon and you would have said, you can't park here. And they would have said, driveway, a son of a bitch, rent a cop. Yeah. And then the next day, everything changes.
Exactly. Yep.
Everything changes so quickly.
Yep.
And people have not forgotten a year later, have they?
No, they haven't. You know, we still have our times here in the Pentagon, but I think this has really brought the whole Pentagon community, the law enforcement, the military, the civilians, have all brought them together. I mean, in, you know, that day there was just as much military out here saving lives and pulling people out as it was law enforcement out here. It was amazing.
And the last thing I want to ask is, you guys all work with canines, and I love dogs, and I got a German Shepherd. Were you able to...
He's getting something out of his pocket. What's he getting there? Anyway, he's getting something out of his...
You must have a trading card with your dog on it.
Oh, yeah.
They all do. What's your dog's name? Benny.
Yep. Benny. That's your dog?
Now, that's my man.
All right.
Now, were the canines...
Beautiful dog.
Were the canines able to help in this situation?
No. For the first probably 3 or 4 hours, we ended up leaving dogs in cars all over the place. And after that, what we tried to do is we were having officers shuttle dogs up to our office. And we had all of our dogs. We had 8 dogs in a small office up at the other building. Just because there was nothing we could do.
You know what? I had heard about the dogs in New York. And this just broke my heart because, you know, I have a German Shepherd. I was talking with you guys about the Shepherd there. Those dogs are the greatest. And we were up in New York. The German Shepherds there with the canine units there were trained to find people who were alive underneath all of the rubble. And the dogs, after hours and hours of not finding people, the dogs were starting to get so depressed that the police department and the fire department would hide live people in the rubble for the dogs to find them so that the dogs' morale
would
be lifted.
Exactly.
That is incredible as to how intelligent and insightful those animals are.
Exactly.
Anyway. You know, I got off on a thing there because I love those dogs, but that to me...
We've got some of the best dogs in the area, no doubt about it.
Oh, they're beautiful.
We got great dogs.
And great you're ladies. A hero, Denny.
Yes. Lieutenant Denny Wayans, Wayman, I'm sorry, I called you Denny Wayans. It's like one of the Wayans brothers. Lieutenant Denny Wayman, I want to thank you. I know that you and your guys, one of the big reasons we're down here doing this broadcast, and a couple of you guys have said to both Don and myself, we're happy to have you here, but let me tell you something, we are delighted that you guys thought enough of us to invite us down here, and congratulations to you and everything you guys have done down here. Thanks.
We appreciate you guys. Thanks. Exactly. No doubt about it.
We love the invitation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And best to your wife. Anybody want to say hi to?
Yeah, anybody you want to,
as long as you're here?
Well, I don't even, my mom and dad probably aren't even listening.
Give a shout. So, give a shout out to mom and dad.
My mom and dad in Richmond.
We're on in Richmond.
My wife and kids are at home right now. I know they're listening. The rest of the DPS family.
Very good.
And the law enforcement family around here.
You got it.
We've definitely, the law enforcement family around here has gotten much tighter since September 11th. So.
All right, thank you. Great talking to you, Denny.
Thanks, Denny.
Yeah, okay, what we're going to do is take a break. Let's right now allow our local stations 10 seconds to identify themselves.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is your home of the Raiders and the NFL. DK Sacramento, an Infinity Broadcasting Station.
Thanks to the Q, Rob. It's almost 5 o'clock on the East Coast, 1 year later. And we're having a much different show than I had thought we would on September 11th, 2002.
We have our moments, as everybody has their moments today, where you get emotional, where you reflect on the tremendous loss of life that occurred 1 year ago today. But at the same time, as we have mentioned before, and as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, today is a day where I think everybody recognizes how strong we are as a country, and we realize the enormous amount of individuals, the resources that we have, the heroes that I don't think anybody was ever aware of prior to 9/11 that are in our midst every day. People that you do not see on TV, you don't hear on the radio, you don't read in the newspaper. They're thousands of them, tens of thousands of them. They're everywhere you look. They're in every country, you know, where we have United States servicemen stationed. They're in every city of the United States. And it just gives me a feeling that out of this tragedy, we're a stronger nation. And we are also inevitably, not tomorrow, not necessarily next year or 2 years down the road, we are going to win this battle against terrorism, because we do, as mentioned before, have the moral high ground. I feel strong today. Man,
it is.
So
you know what it is, Mike? It is the fact of where we are.
Yeah. I think
and
that
the
has
fact that
it.
It's a beautiful day
right.
in D.C. The sun is going down. We are in the cherry location. We are looking directly at the stage where the president was today, and we see firsthand exactly where the plane hit the Pentagon 1 year ago today.